Welcome to Total Agent Access, where we interview the most inspiring real estate agents in the world to share with you the best advice from our brightest minds. With your host, me, Colin Bredner.
Welcome to another episode of Total Agent Access. I'm pretty psyched about this one. Today's guest is none other than Sean Getty out of Calgary, Alberta. And I was first introduced to Sean at a conference in the fall of, I guess it would be 2023 now, seems like longer than that ago. But this guy got up on stage in a hoodie and a hat on backwards, basically slayed everything from the stage and showed us the blueprint on how to use video in social. I think the whole crowd was blown away. Sean, I know I was taking notes like crazy, and I love marketing. And I was like, oh, hey, that's good. That's good. That's good. So thank you very much for being on the podcast. I hope you can bring some of that love to our audience and let us know how to do things here. So first off, let's get into your backstory. Where did you grow up?
Grew up in Winnipeg. Yeah.
Yeah?
Well, the asshole of the country, which is great.
So, yeah. We won't say that. I have a few friends there.
Oh, everyone's your friend there. You have to be. It's got to be friendly Manitoba because there's nothing else to do, right? So.
Yeah. I drove out there. Well, I didn't drive out there. I flew out there and back, picked up a car for my wife. So we went out there last year. And I've never been to Winnipeg before. And as my friends from Winnipeg told me, there's two seasons. There's winter and there's construction. Yeah. We hit the construction season. That's so
funny. They're very accurate. Yeah. And the provincial bird is a mosquito. So.
Oh, I bet. We have our fair share up here in northern British Columbia as well. So what do you like to do on your spare time when you are not fully consumed with real estate? Now, this may be, I know you have a big team, and that may be a rhetorical question.
It's funny. Like I like playing hockey and working out and stuff like that, but it's just recently, right? Because we got our team to a fairly decent size with a good operations manager and everything. And I've worked weekends my whole life, right? Like my first job was The Brick, which is a retail furniture store. So you work weekends. And then my second job was new home sales, new construction. So you work evening and weekends. And then a realtor. So like it's just evenings and weekends, right?
Yeah.
So I've never known anything different. And now I don't do sales at all anymore, right? The team does all the sales. And I don't know what to do on the weekends. Like I'm just sitting there and I'm I don't know. Right. So I'm like just kind of waiting for Monday to come around.
Yeah. So you can give yourself a license to go in and work some more. I know exactly what you're going through because I worked in restaurants. I'm a chef by trade up to the time that I became a realtor for most of my life. And I've recently built a small team up here. And I, for the most, take weekends off. And like you, I'm stuck with, okay, what do I do now? I've taken out, I read a lot and I actually do a little bit of work as well. Now, you got into a little bit about what you did before real estate. So you worked at The Brick and then you went into the new home sales. And then what sort of made you want to get your real estate license?
Not the best time in my life, to be honest. With real estate. So long story short, always wanted to be in real estate. Took the course when I was like 19 years old in Vancouver, made it to like the second or third chapter, and then got in my own head, who's going to let a kid sell their house? Where do I get customers? Back then there was no social media, right? This is 2003, 2004, and Facebook hadn't been invented yet, right? So I'm like, what do? You just like sit at the mall at those booths and talk to people? Like, where do you get customers? I had no idea, right?
Yeah.
So I didn't finish. And then I went on with my life. And 20 years later, ended up here. And basically, the super long story short is I was in new home sales. I loved it. I was very good at it. Made a really good income working about 20 hours a week, right? So just really Friday, Saturday, Sunday is all you had to work. Or sorry, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And anyways, my whole life got turned upside down, as the Fresh Prince says it. But I ended up getting a divorce, like a super out of nowhere divorce. And I wasn't ready for that or prepared for that. And then that led me to underperform at work. And then I got fired. And then I broke my arm because you're like pretty bad. So broken like 9 places, all within 30 days. So I lost my health, I lost my wealth, and I lost my love, my wife, right? So that started a spiral into some pretty serious depression. Got suicidal a couple times. And through that, decided that real estate would be a good thing to pick up at the time. And yeah, I started when I was about 6 months behind in my bills. So everyone says, you know, you should have 6 months in savings. I was the exact opposite. I had no money. I was basically homeless. I had to park down the street because I was worried about the tow truck coming and taking my car in the middle of the night. And figured, yeah, this is the best time to get started in real estate. And it was 2019 in Calgary, which, if anybody's familiar, that is the bottom of a recession. So we started declining in 2014, and we declined heavy down to 2019. And the year I started, average days on market was, can you imagine, like, what do you think like the worst possible days on market could be? Like Detroit bad, what would you say?
Detroit bad? 90 plus?
Yeah. So on MLS, it said 87, but in real life, it was 3 years. Days on market, because you would just see on, off, on, off, on, off, on, off, sold. Anytime you went into the history and you looked, it was like, yeah, it was always 2-3 years of on, off market until it finally sold. And everybody, pretty much every client that I sold, they had to cash out their RSPs and life savings to pay the negative equity and commissions and everything. So I did 44 deals my first year, 38 were listings. Of those 38, nobody had any money at all. They were literally cashing out their life savings because they couldn't afford the house no more. So it was a really tough first year, like really tough first year.
What a time to get in. Like everything was against you, like everything, not just the market, but
my life. Personal, yeah. Too,
totally. Personal life was against you. And there's so many people that get into this business that don't understand that you got to work it. And I'm sure by being at your bottom, you knew that the boats were burnt and that there was no going back, which probably fueled you a little bit more, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Well, and the crazy thing is, imagine this. So I was behind on all my bills, and yep, I would go like 1, 2, sometimes even 3 days with no food because I couldn't afford to eat, right? Like I literally had no money. And, when I got licensed, I got a job offer from the builder that I was working at, and because he knew I was getting my license and I was leaving, and they kept pushing me into these like, you know, really shitty areas. And when I was going to leave, the manager was like, well, don't leave yet. Let me make you an offer. Come into the office. So I came in and we sat down and he's like, listen, I'm going to give you this community. Nobody will know it, so it doesn't matter. I'll give you this community if you stay. And that community was making about $350,000 to $400,000 a year in commission for the area manager, which is my job. I'm like, oh man. He's like, but you have to hang up your license. He goes, you can't be a realtor and an area manager. You got to pick. So here I am sitting broke, behind on bills, nothing going well for me. And I get this offer of literally a life-saving offer.
Yeah.
And, he said, go home and think about it and come back tomorrow, the next day, whatever, and just come back with your answer. And as soon as I turned around, I already made my decision. But I went home and I gave it the day and I came back the next day. And when I walked into his office, he didn't even say anything. He goes, yeah, I already know what your answer is. He goes, I still want my 2 weeks out of you. So you have to put in your 2 weeks, right? Because he knew I was quitting, right?
Yeah.
So imagine that. I get a life raft that could literally turn my life back around for 1 year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Make 400 grand, pay off all my debts, put a little cash away, and then start real estate on 2 feet, right?
So what made you not take that deal? Like, what was it inside you?
Yeah, so there's a few things that happened, but one was one of my really good buddies, Steve. He's a serial entrepreneur, And I've seen him fail again and again and again and again and again. And he just gets haymakers right to the face every time he starts a business, and he gets knocked down, but not out. And he would get back up and get a job and save a little bit of money and then start another business. And smart dude, great dude, huge personality, everything's good. But I'm like, he's not smarter or better than I am. He's just got more courage than I do. And I use that as kind of my springboard. I'm like, you know what? If he can do it, I can do it. And I'm like, I'm going to go into business for myself. And no ceiling, no sky limit, right? So I use that as some inspiration. And I was also just sick and tired of having a boss, right? It's just, my whole careers, my whole working life, I've always pushed to do more. And the company always stopped me, right? The company always clipped my wings. I would always offer, like, let me do this training. Let me do this. Let me give me a raise. Let me whatever. Not a raise, but like a higher position.
Yeah, and promotion.
Yeah. And they would almost never give it to me, right? And I'm like, I'm just sick of people holding me back. Right. Like, I just need to see what I can do with no shackles and just let me go on my own, because I can work all day. I got no problem. And I catch on to things pretty quick. I wouldn't consider myself an overly smart person, but my comprehension is high and my implication is high. So I can understand things and I can implement. Right.
Yeah. It's all about having that grit, right? Like that determination, the grit to
a point, right? Like you have to be able to assess what's going on and then change strategies and tweak and whatever. Like you can't just grind. Like you have to have a bit of a brain to it as well, but yes. And so then I decided to get into real estate, and then I started at EXP. And back then there was only 50 agents in the province, and it was horrible and nothing worked and conveyancing sucked. And there was only one mentor available to me, and they were horrible. And I had no brokerage to go to. I had no people to talk to. I had nothing. I was left completely on my own. And no idea how to do this business, right? So, I just really just through doing stuff blindly. Like I remember I Googled, how do I sell a house today? And that's the stuff that came up, and I just looked at it, and everything I saw I didn't like, but like door knocking, open houses, calls, whatever. All the strategies, I didn't like what I saw, but I saw the things I was supposed to do. So I'm like, okay, let me just go start doing these things, right? And like door knocking was one of them. So I remember like I knocked on my first door, right? So like, knock, knock, someone answered, and I'm like, oh shit. And he could see on my face that I wasn't ready for him to answer. And he's like, hello? I'm like, hello? He's like, can I help you? I'm like, do you want to sell your house? Right? Like that was my first door, right? I had no idea.
No script, no preparation. You're just like, hey, I'm here.
I'll sell your house. Yeah. Even like my first listing, I got 4 days after I was licensed. And I was just warm calling people, and I wasn't asking for real estate or telling my realtor. I'm like, I just don't want to do this. It just seems slimy. But I wanted to just connect with everybody again. So I just started calling people and just seeing how they were and what's going on and whatever. And my fourth day in, one of the calls was like, yeah, I've got a house for you to sell. I'm like, oh, shit, really? I'm like, whose? He's like, mine. Amazing, right? It was $1.3 million, which is like $2 million in today's market.
Yeah.
And I remember trying to sign the papers, and I'm like, designated brokerage or not? I don't know what I am. Like, I have no idea. Like, I have no idea what I'm doing, right?
Yeah.
So I got fired about 3 weeks later from that one. But and even like social media, to your point, I had maybe 280 followers on Instagram.
Yep.
And I think one post, maybe two posts, right? I wasn't big on social media. I just was there for the memes is really what I was there for. Yep. And I didn't even realize probably until after the first year, but I'm like, I need to talk to more people. And the only way I talk to more people is through social, right? So I'm like, I can door knock, I can call, but that's one-to-one. But every time I make a post, 10, like back then, I'm like, well, 10 people see it. So I'm like, oh, cool. Like I made a post and 10 people saw it instead of me having to talk to 10 people. I'm like, makes sense. And like, let me just start multiplying that, right? Because I'm like, if I could talk to 100 people in a post, well, then I just had one conversation, I hit 100 people. I'm like, that's way better. And then that's kind of where it started.
Sure. And it saves your time as well, right?
Huge.
Yeah. So, you know, if you could go back to yourself when you first started, what advice would you give to yourself?
The biggest one would be, honestly, like me personally, would just to tell myself it was going to be okay. right? Because I wasn't. So like the advice I would give to myself versus what I would give to new people would be maybe two different things.
But, share both with us.
Yeah. Yeah. Because like I was going through a lot of stuff, right, at the beginning. And yeah, like I was very suicidal. I tried to kill myself two times. I couldn't go through with it. But I definitely wanted to die. And I just wish somebody would kill me. And I couldn't do it myself. So like going back to me personally, I would say just to tell myself it's going to be okay. To new people or anybody who's figuring out this business, I would say the number one thing you could do is get a real schedule, a real one. So now what I do is I just take whatever my target is and I reverse engineer it down. So like whatever you could, 200,000, 500,000, a million, whatever your number is that you want to make. So, okay, that's however many deals, 100 deals. So put that as your 12-month goal and be like, okay, so now let me divide that by 12. So I know what I got to do a month. So then I got to do whatever, 8-9 deals a month. And then that 8-9 deals, I have to knock a certain amount of doors to get a listing, certain amount of calls to get a listing. I need a certain amount of posts. I need to do a certain amount of things in marketplace, blah, blah, blah. And then you just keep dialing that down until you get to the day. And then from the day you make a schedule, right? And then you're like, okay, I know I need to knock 50 doors a day. I need to make 10 phone calls. I need to do this, whatever. And then you just make a schedule where the most effective or where the prospecting is the most effective time of that day. Like you wouldn't door knock at 9 a.m., but you would door knock at 5 to 9. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And yep. I just did that.
Yep. Sorry to cut you off there. I work with my team and we track all phone calls and we have it down so that we fully understand and everybody should understand you're making phone calls. How many phone calls to get somebody on? How many phone calls is it to get that person into an appointment, to get them into a contract, and know that number so that you have a target each day and each week, knowing that, okay, I'm going to make 24 phone calls and I know I'm going to get one person on the phone. That's really, really valuable.
Yeah. And it's super simple. But the thing is, it's not simple to do that. Right. So that's where the schedule came into play. And that's why I would recommend you work a schedule and you just do 15 minute intervals and you have a little timer go off every 15 minutes and be like, you know, did I use a good 15 minutes or did I waste 15 minutes? And then that way you're never getting too far past your day of not doing the things that you want to do.
Yeah.
Right. But like, I'll tell you how powerful that is. So I set my goal.
Yep, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. So like I set my goal, my third year in real estate for $1 million commission. So $1 million GCI. That's a big number to put, right? And especially if especially if it's your third year in the business, right? It's not like it's 15 years in. So put my $1 million and then I reverse engineered everything down. And I'm like, okay, cool. Like all I have to do is this. And then I put that into a schedule and I'm like, okay, if you know, my morning routine is this, 9 a.m. is this, 10 a.m. is this, 11 is this. And I just do this. That's it. And when I'm not doing this, it's because I have a customer. And then if I don't have a customer, I'm back to doing this. That's it. Simple. I was sitting down with Ricky Carruth. I think you know who that is, right?
Yeah. Ricky. Yep, I know, right? Ricky.
We're at the Icon Breakfast in Vegas. So this is like October or whatever it is that they do that, September, October. And we're sitting down eating and I looked at the badge, my badge in the back, and it said Triple Icon or Triple Diamond. And I go, Ricky, you know what this is? And he was still new to the brokerage at the time. And he's like, oh, I don't know, right? And I'm like, oh, Triple Diamond. I go, I remember what Double Diamond was because that's the highest that it went. And just for everybody listening, there's like jewels. So you have like emerald, ruby, whatever, based on what your GCI was for the year. And then once you passed 250,000, it was a diamond. And then $500,000, there you go. Double diamond.
I'm, for those that are just listening, I'm holding up my double diamond here to the screen so that you can see what he's talking about.
Yeah. So the gemstone awards, right? So the double diamond was 500,000 plus. And that used to be the highest. And then, so this was triple diamond. And I'm like, oh, what? Like, I don't, what is it? Right. And I Googled it and it wasn't coming up on Google. So I went to the Icon booth and you talked to the girls there. And I'm like, hey, like, I'm just curious, what's triple diamonds? Right. Cause I can't find it nowhere. And like, oh, we changed the gemstone rankings because we have so many big producers here now and we needed to have another level up. I'm like, oh, cool. I'm like, so what is it? Right. And she goes, oh, it means you did more than $1 million GCI. I'm like, I did more than $1 million GCI. And she's like, yeah, what's your name? I'll look you up. And she went and she looked it up. And she's like, oh, yeah, I know you're at 1.1 million. I'm like, I'm at $1.1 million. I had no idea I'd crossed $1 million because I never focused on the money. I used the target to set my goal. And I took that goal and I broke it down, reverse engineered to see what I need to do every day. And then I took what I need to do every day and I put that into a schedule so I could work that schedule. And then I just worked the schedule. That's it. I saw a lot of money in my bank. I'm like, wow, I got a lot of fucking money sitting here, right? But I never looked at the EFTs. I never looked at how much was coming in because none of that shit mattered to me, right? Yeah. It just didn't matter. I go, I know I'm not looking to take my half the prize. And people would ask me how many deals I'm at. I have no idea how many deals I was at. Like, what do you have for the year? I'm like, I don't know. Like, I truly don't know. I can't tell you. Well, how much did you do this week? I'm like, I don't know. Like, I'm not tracking that.
But I can tell you. You can say how many phone calls you've made, how many people you've talked to, how many people you've helped.
Not how many people I helped. No, because that was deals.
Don't track that?
Don't track that. Even now today, right? Like our goal this year is 400 deals.
Yeah.
Right. So I have no idea where I'm at. Right. I know what I need to do to hit 400 deals and I'm going to do that. And at the end of the year, God willing, we'll be at 405 or whatever it is. We'll see. But until we finish, then I'll find out. I just know the work attached to the goal and I just care about the work. And the reason why this is so important, I know people are probably thinking I'm an idiot listening to this, but the reason why this is so important is because goals get heavy and they get too heavy for you to carry and you start losing. So what happens is, like, let's just use easy numbers here. Let's say 24 deals. So you want to do 24 deals for the year. So that's 2 a month, right? Well, January is going to come and maybe you do one. So now you got to do 3 the next month. February comes, you do 1 again. Well, now you got to do 4 the next month and then 2. Then March comes, let's say you do 0. Just whatever happens, right? Now you're 0. So now you're way behind. Now you're like, fuck, I'll never catch up to make my goal work. The weight of that will bring you down and you'll stop doing the work, right? You'll just hit that mental block and you'll stop doing it, right? Whereas if you're like, I've just got to do 50 doors a day. I've just got to do 80 calls a day. I've just got to do 3 posts a week. I've just, whatever it is. You just keep doing that and the goal doesn't matter because you know that work will eventually turn into deals. And maybe you do 0, 0, 0. So now you're behind 6 or whatever that is. Yeah, you're behind 6 deals. But all of a sudden you pop off for 10 in a week, right? And you catch up and you're like, cool, great. I don't care about
and
these.
And it 10. Always happens like that, right? Like it if always happens. It's stagnant for a while and then all of a sudden it pops off.
But the weight of the stagnation gets you.
Yeah. How do you stay motivated during those times though? Like I'm not motivated. To stay on that schedule.
I'm not motivated. I have zero motivation. I could care less about motivation. It is such a worthless emotion. I'm just disciplined, right? It's just the work needs doing. That's it, right? Motivation is not in my vocabulary at all.
Like discipline is.
Yeah, you wake up, you do this. Mid-morning, you do this. Noon, you do this. And it's just, that's it. You just do it. And the thing is with motivation, as soon as you start doing that, even the quotes, right? Like everyone's always posting these quotes on their stories. Anybody that's posting the quote, I know they're not doing the work because they're sitting around fucking around trying to do this instead of just going and doing the work, right? As soon as I see it, I see somebody posting quotes. I'm like, oh, like this person needs a quick check, right? Like someone needs to get a hold of this person and put them back in line because I know that they're not working, right? Because they're searching for motivation because they've lost discipline. Always. Does that make sense?
Yep, totally. I love it. I love that because it's very different from what the main, you know, real estate media and whatnot will tell you. And I fully agree. Coming from the background of a chef, we have recipes. You do 1, you do 2, you do 3. And then after that, you do 4. And then it's done. And it makes so much sense. It is easy in our industry to get caught up in the shiny object. And trust me, I love tech and I love new things. And, you know, I go off on strange tangents and I tell my team, okay, if I start adding new stuff, tell me to stop, please. You know, and that's really what we're focusing on. I've said it a million times. I'm reading this great, amazing book called 10X is Easier Than 2X. And I think everybody should read it. And we have pared down everything that we do on our team to exactly what you said. From this time to this time, we're doing this. From this time to this time, we're doing this. These are the blocks that we're taking care of our clients, and we're doing that 5 days a week.
That's right.
And it's working, and it's paying off. Yeah. None of the fancy stuff, just getting the work done. So what is the one thing that has you most excited about the future of real estate and about your future?
I don't really get excited either. It's funny. My operations manager, she tells me this all the time. And I tell her too, like, this is her team, not mine, basically, right? Like, it might be my name on the door and I might pay the bills, but like, this is your gig now, right? But she's like, you just don't move emotionally. Like, you just don't. And I'm like, I can't, right? And it's not that I can't. I go, but I just can't in front of you people, because I need to be the rock and I need to be, you know, exactly what you're getting with me every day, no matter what's going on in my life, whether it's like something incredible, amazing. Like, there was, you know, one day I was like screaming inside with excitement because I bought my first multifamily property, $2.5 million property I bought.
Right? I saw that on Instagram, and that post and a couple of other posts, I was like, man, I got to get Sean on the podcast, because this guy's,
you know what's crazy?
This guy's raw and authentic.
I bought that 2 months before I made that post. Yeah. I'm like, you know what? I better fucking make a post about this, because I know it inspires people and it brings people with us. Right.
Absolutely.
So, like I'd already had that for a while, and, stuff like that. And I've had other stuff where my life is getting rocked. Right. And I'm just getting, you know, taking it right in the teeth, but nobody here would ever know. Right. I'm just this. So we're talking about excited, like, even still, like our goal this year, the whole team knows it, is we want to be the number one team at EXP globally. And that means we need $1 billion of sales, because Justin Havers here now, right? So $1 billion in sales, reverse engineered, means I need 85 agents is what I need, right? 85 agents, two deals a month, times out, blah, 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 $1 billion. So I'm like, okay, cool. Now my only goal is 85 agents, right? And if we want to talk about excited, like, I guess we're excited that we want to travel to number one. But when I started the year, we had to let go of a few people because they didn't align with the new vision. And we started with 5 agents in January. And as of today, I think we just did one more. So it would be 38 as of today. So imagine going from 5 to 38 agents in 2 months, right? And I'm like, okay, cool. We're on pace. I wanted to be at 50 right now, but we're not. But I don't care that we're not at 50, because I know that I'm doing the work every day that I said I was going to do. And that is the, I don't know if you know John Cheplak is, but it's basically just his recruiting protocol, right? Yep. Making friends with people, setting coffees, getting meetings. So in the morning, like for me, I come in the morning, my operations manager and my senior agent makes calls every morning, but I kind of get my day set. I run a team meeting in the morning, and then I'm just doing interviews and booking interviews all afternoon. It's my whole day, right? And that's all that I do, and interviews for agents. And yeah, it's been working well. And like, I know that we'll have a windfall of like 8 or 9 agents in 1 week at one time. And then that'll catch me back up to where I need to be. And then we'll hit our 85, and then so on and so on. Right. So yeah, like it's exciting, and it's cool to have these big ambitious goals and all that kind of stuff. But like, I just like doing the work. Like I just have a schedule and a job, and I just want to make sure I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah. I'm the same way. I love what I'm doing, and it's almost like an enjoyable hobby for me, but it happens to be work as well. And I really like it. Now, when you're bringing agents on, what is it that you offer?
You mean the team offering?
Yeah. Why would they join you?
Totally. So, it's actually like, I love this one, because so many teams out there are teams that I personally would not join. Right. There's some that I would for sure. Right. Like I talked about Haver earlier. It's a team I would for sure join.
Yeah. Right? He's a beauty.
And amazing guy and amazing team. Right.
Yeah.
So,
that right.
But what happened, I was at a conference and Chet Black happened to be there, and we were in a small room mastermind, and he went around the room and he just asked everybody, and he said, be real. He goes, did you join a team that you wanted to build? Or did you join a team that you, as a performer at your level, would join? And everybody who was honest said no, right? Of course, some people said yes.
Yep.
But I was looking around, and I did have a team at the time. And I'm like, you know what? No, I did build this for me, right? And I didn't build this to get people like me. And what happened is that's why I kept getting new agents. We don't really take on new agents on our team, right? It's experienced agents only unless you really shine as a new agent. And which is crazy to think about that. Like, how many teams do you know that only bring on experienced agents?
Very, very few, if any.
Right. And people, when I said that, people are like, are you like, you got a screw loose? Like, what are you like? Nobody is joining you. I'm like, yeah, they are. I go, we got a whole bunch of people that were doing 20, 25 deals a year, but they couldn't get past that. And they joined me to get to 50. Right. And yeah, so like most of our agents are like between year one and three, and they're doing anywhere from like 12 to 20 deals already. And then we just got to make sure they do double. So anyways, so why would people join me? Is I sat back all last year after I learned that, which is around this time last year that I got that kind of awakening blow. And I'm like, okay, I need to sit back and I need to join. I need to create a team that me as a high level producer would actually join. So how, right? So I sat back and I reverse engineered that too. And I'm like, okay, like it has to be training, has to be not warm leads, but hot leads, has to be accountability, has to be discipline. Because if somebody would have just set me straight the first year, I probably would be doing 10 times more than I'm doing now because I stumbled so hard for that first year. So the biggest thing is what we do is like I tell everybody, you got two hats as a realtor. So you got a business owner and you have an employee. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Right. So this is your both of these. The problem is everybody here wants to be the business owner, which is like the marketer, the logos, the making the schedule, doing the deals, all that stuff. Everybody wants to be this. But the employee is the person that gets you there. And the employee is the one that's going to be doing the door knocking, the calls, the post, all that stuff. Nobody wants to do this. So what happens is because most people don't have the self-discipline to be their own boss and make themselves be their own employee, they don't do the things that they're supposed to do here, right? And then that weight starts to get very heavy because they knew they were supposed to knock 50 doors yesterday and they didn't. And they knew they were supposed to make 5 social media posts this week and they didn't. And what happens is that starts to get super heavy to the owner. And then they can't carry that weight anymore. And it bogs them down to the point where they can't even think about doing the employee stuff anymore. Does that make sense? So on my team, we take this right off the plate. So I tell everybody, you are no longer a business owner. You are now an employee of the team. And that is the absolute best possible thing you can do for your future self. Your future self will thank you for being an employee in a high performance business so that you become a high performance employee and you learn everything you need to do to be an employer. And we will train you to be an employer later. But first, let's take this. So we take all of the heavy stuff off of them. We take the scheduling away. We take the admin away. We take the thinking away, everything so that they can just be a streamlined pro athlete. Does that make sense? And then we train them like that, right? Because I talk a lot about this and I learned this from Carmen. But, you know, so what's the difference between an amateur and a professional? Have you heard this before?
Nope.
Right? So the difference between an amateur and a professional is an amateur will practice something until they can get it right. A professional will practice something until they can't get it wrong. Those are two very different things. And so for however long it took you to learn something, you've got to do just as many in a row till you can't get it wrong. Make sense? Yep. So for our team, we do tons of script and role play. We do tons of practice conversations and stuff with each other. And every day we're working with each other at a high level, boiling it all the way down to the day-to-day hand combat that you need to do. And I'm like, man, if I had this at the beginning, I would be so much sharper with my conversations. Right. And again, like it's super important to me for this, but this is being taught. And sorry, I'm rambling here.
Let's keep going. This is all value.
But it's being taught by, and this is not an ego or a brag thing, but it's being taught by me, not by somebody that I hired to teach it. So what happens is, again, like my first year, 44 deals, my second year, 103 deals. And then my third year, I did 186 solo deals. That's the 1.1 million commission. So I did $75 million in volume by myself. So I think I know how to convert a customer, right?
That's crazy. That's right? Crazy numbers, Sean.
Yeah. So, but if you can imagine, if you're getting taught by somebody who runs a team and hired a sales coach from fucking whatever, or you're getting taught by this person, who do you want to get taught by?
Yeah.
Right. You're going to get two totally different sets of information. Completely. So we've got I'd probably say at least 30% of our team came from teams. where they were on another team and they weren't getting the stuff they were supposed to get. And then they're like, oh my God. Like, you could just see their brains fucking explode at the first meeting. And that's why, like, you look, if you look at my social media and you look at the stories, just everybody at the meeting is laser focused. How often do you see that at a sales meeting? Usually people are on their phones, they're dazed or whatever. Our meetings go for 2-3 hours and people are dialed the whole time. I don't got to ask anybody to come in. Nothing is mandatory. Everything is voluntary for that. And they're there early and they're there ready to go and they're ready to learn. So what sets my team apart from other teams is we will teach you and we will basically force feed you to become a professional instead of becoming an amateur. Does that make sense?
Amazing.
Right? And then we, we only have a 1-year contract because a lot of people operate in fear instead of abundance. So a lot of times they need a 2-year, 3-year commitment from people because they know they're not going to make money year one. They make money year two as a business operator. I'm like, well, if I give a value proposition that's so high that nobody's leaving me after the year, what am I worried about? And so far we've had about 6 people cross, 0 have left the team. So everybody that is now on a day-to-day contract, not a month-to-month, they can leave at any time. Nobody's leaving. And I used to have a big problem with people leaving before. So yeah, that's basically, to sum up your answer, is we're offering something that I don't think people are capable of offering. And even a big one like the team lead selling, right? Like, I think, you know, no offense to anybody, but I think that's a big no-no for a big team if you're going to run a large team. Because the leads come in and we all know that the team lead all of a sudden becomes a $1 million listing agent, right? And they're crushing the listing game. Yep. But it's everybody else's work that's providing income, that's buying the leads, that the team lead is cherry picking to grow their own personal business. So that's not a servant leader. That's a greedy leader. So I think if you're going to grow a big team, a small team is different. But if you're going to grow a big team, 10 plus, you can't sell. You got to make that change.
So I agree with you. You should never be in conflict with the people that work for you. And I think the same way with brokerage owners as well. Like, brokerage owners, I don't think they should sell either because they're in direct competition with people that are paying them desk fees.
Broker, I wouldn't really care, to be honest with you. Like, how often are you going to run across a broker where they're taking your deal? But a team lead, the team lead, the difference is they're the ones that are producing the leads. And like me, like I literally see every lead that comes through Follow Up Boss. So I see it. I can just open it up like really quick and I can be like, oh, good lead, bad lead, whatever. And if I wanted to, I could take all the good ones, right? But it's everybody else's work that's paying for those leads. So now here I am making them work to benefit me. Doesn't work. Right. So as a team lead that does lead generation, and if you're still selling, personally, I don't like that. So
that's all good. It's all good. I can totally see where you're coming from. So before we wrap this up, we'd love to have the rapid fire round. Are you ready for this?
Rapid fire round? Sure.
Yep. Okay. So what is the one piece of technology that you can't do without and why, and you can't say MLS or your cell phone?
Of technology? That's it. Yeah. I just need my phone. Instagram. Does
that count? There we go. Instagram. Yeah. If whoever's listening to this, if you don't follow Sean, you need to. His Instagram is awesome. Number 2, what is the best book you've ever read and why?
Can't, you have to categorize that. Yeah. It's because there's some that open your mind, your soul, your business. If I had to pick one, it'd be Hormozy's first book, $100 million deals.
Beautiful. That's right there.
Yeah.
Right on my back shelf. What is the best business advice you've ever read or you ever received? What is the best business advice you've ever received?
Oh man, that's an easy one. I got this from when I worked at the Brick, this guy named James Angus, phenomenal leader. And the way that he managed us was so amazing. But I remember that this will all tie in, I promise you. You said rapid round, sorry, but I have to get the backstory.
You go, man. Take all the time you need.
So At the Brick, it was basically like the MLB baseball. Everything had millions of stats. There were stats on stats on stats, right? So you really had to be dialed into your numbers. Like, you really had to be dialed in. And James, who was a complete machine, like, the guy was phenomenal. He would come into your store. I was a store manager or sales manager at this particular time. I was a sales manager, and James would come into your store, and he's like 5'5", but he's about 8 feet tall, if that makes sense, right? Yeah. Like, just huge personality. He comes in the store, and he's always like sprint walking, right? So, like, he's just a man with a purpose, right?
Walking with purpose.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, I'm 6 foot. I can't keep up with him. Like, I'm literally huffing and puffing. Anyways, so we come into the store, and he would blast you on stats, and he would ask you, and he would already know the answer, but he wanted to know if you knew the answer, right? So he'd be like, what's your warranty at? What's your PPP at? What's your mattress add-ons at? What's your this at, right? And if you didn't know and you weren't exact, he would lose it, as he should, because he was running a serious business. Anyways, so one time he comes in, and mattresses were a big deal at the Brick. I'm sure they still are, but they got a lot of margin to them. And be like, margin, right? So you would come in and say, what your mattress is at? And they'd say, where your add-ons, where your pillows, where your bed frames, and where your mattress protectors, right? And they all have to be in certain percentages. So we were good in every category except for bed frames, metal bed frames. And imagine this, like, how do you sell a metal bed frame? It's a fucking metal bed frame, right? But it didn't matter. You had to be in the percentage that the company wanted. They didn't care. I think it was like 3%. So if you did 100,000 of mattresses, you better have $3,000 of metal bed frames, right? Like, you better be in where they need you to be. So James comes in, where's this? And he goes, why are your bed frames low, right? Because I said the number. And he's like, yeah. He goes, why are they low? I'm like, oh, well, we're trying. He's like, you're trying? He goes, we don't try. We either do or we don't. Okay, fair enough. And one of his sayings was, what are you doing to change the news? He goes, I don't like the news. What are you doing to change the news? And I'm like, okay, well, we'll focus on it and we'll make sure we're paying attention and we'll try hard. He goes, fluff. And here is the answer. He goes, that's fluff. He goes, I don't want fluff. He goes, what exactly are you going to do? I don't want you to focus. I don't want you to try. Tell me what you're going to do. I'm like, focus. Right? Like, it's hard when someone puts you on the spot like that, right? Because of course you're going to try, you're going to be involved in more deals and blah, 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 blah. He goes, no, tell me your plan, right? And I'm like, shit, we better make one. So we sat down and thought about it, and we made up a plan of basically everything gets a bed frame for the rest of the month. So we ordered in a stack of bed frames, and we put them in a big pyramid so they look nice, right? And we no longer gave discounts on anything unless you got a metal bed frame as part of that discount. And I remember I was outside with my general sales manager at the time. His name was Donnie. He smoked. I've never smoked, but I'd always go outside with him and we'd like kind of decompress whatever we're at for the day. And so we're sitting there and we see this guy come outside. And like, not that race matters, but I just want you to picture it. He's like Chinese guy. And you know, like kind of like the Yo-Gi-Oh cards ones. He got his pants pulled up all high and his shirt buttoned up and tucked in and just like kind of like a nerdy Chinese guy, right? Just yeah. to picture it. And he's carrying a bed frame that's bigger than he is, right? And he walks out of the store and he opens his van door and he scratches his head and he puts the thing in there and he closes it and he goes like one of these and he locks and locks. And like, you just picture the guy, right? With like the bowl haircut and the glasses. And goes in his van and drives away. So we go inside and we look up the sale of who did it. And it was this guy named Shiv. And we go to Shiv. He goes, what's going on with the guy with the bed frame? He looked super confused. And he goes, yeah, he wanted free delivery. And he goes, we go, okay, did you give it to him? He goes, no. I said, free bed frame with delivery. And then he gave him the bed frame instead of delivery because they're about the same price, right? $100. So here this guy goes, he bought a fridge. Sorry. So he bought a fridge, and instead of getting free delivery, he got a free bed frame in lieu of delivery. And he's walking out. Imagine going into a store to buy a fridge, and you walk out with a metal bed frame. But nice. We hit our bed frame numbers that day, or that month, sorry. So what happens is I didn't try harder. I didn't focus. I didn't put in more effort. I made a plan, and I executed. So yep. My best business advice to you or to anybody would be to have no fluff in your business. Everything needs a plan and every plan needs action, and that's it. Does that make sense?
I love what you said there about how are you changing the news? How are you changing that?
That everybody's really going to try harder, right? Yeah. I got no deals. I'll try harder. So anyways, sorry.
Exactly. So number four here on the rapid fire. so this is a big one. Imagine you woke up tomorrow morning in a brand new world, identical to Earth, but you knew no one. You still have all the experience and knowledge you currently have. Your food and shelter is taken care of, but all you have is your laptop and $500. What would you do to resurrect your real estate business in the next 7 days?
That's super easy. Yeah. Just go back to work in my schedule. It'd be that easy. I don't even need the $500. You can keep it. Right. Or do I have food? I could use it for food, I guess. Yeah. Well, honestly,
you use it as for a gym membership.
Yeah. Right. No, honestly. So just the schedule. So like first thing in the morning is my morning routine of workouts and then get my mind, body, and soul right. Then I would do some studying on whatever I'm going to post. I'd make my post. I would do a blitz. Social media blitz is one of the things that we do to draw attention to our account and our business. And then grow our social media spheres. And then a break for lunch. And then I would make calls to my sphere or follow up if I had any. I guess not because it's a brand new business. So I'd make calls to my sphere. And then at 4 o'clock, I would go and knock doors. And within a week, I'd probably have 4 or 5 listings and another handful of buyers.
Right there. That is the roadmap for anybody that's listening. That is a roadmap to success right there. If you're not writing that down, if you're a new agent or somebody that hasn't, you know, achieved what they want to achieve, write down exactly what Sean just said and execute. So I know you don't like quotes, but before we let you out, give us a quote that has guided you in your life.
It's not that I don't like quotes. I'm here for the quotes.
You just don't like people posting quotes.
It's not even that I don't like it. I just know when they post it, I know that they're mentally and emotionally in trouble, right? It has nothing to do with like or don't like. It just is, right? So as soon as you start to see motivation, I know that they've lost it and they're looking for it. Does that make sense? Right?
Yep.
So yeah, this is one that I came up with actually myself. So bias to it. Back at the brick as well. I came up with this. So I've had this for 20 years. So it's IIWA. That's if I wasn't afraid. And it's funny because like I see a lot of the stuff that I've, you know, learned and grown in over the years, like the biggest social media influencers and business influencers are using and saying the same things. And I'm like, okay, like I know I'm on the right track. I might not be to their scale or their level, but I've got the same foundation and the same lessons. They've just managed to leverage it better than I have, right? So this is what I saw again Alex Hormozi say. Very similar. Different, but very similar. So IIWA is if I wasn't afraid. And it's a two-part thing. So you got to think of whatever it is that you're going to go do. So use door knocking. People are afraid to door knock. People are afraid to warm call. People are afraid to cold call. Whatever, right? You're afraid. If I wasn't afraid, what would I do, right? The version of me that has no fear. So just close your eyes, picture it, and be like, if I wasn't afraid at all of the outcome, nothing mattered, what would I do? And then whatever the answer is, you instantly have to do it. No thinking, just doing. So if I had no fear, I would make that call. If I had no fear, I would say this thing. If I had no fear, I would knock that door. And then you instantly, you cannot sit. You can't drive to the thing. You can't prep yourself up or grab a drink or what you think. You visualize what I would do if I wasn't afraid. And the same second, you do it. And I'm telling you, that is going to be that will propel you further than anything you could possibly imagine.
We do something similar called 3-2-1.
Yeah.
3-2-1, pick up your phone, make dial. If you're not afraid. I love it. Sean, I cannot thank you enough, man. You just basically laid out what anybody needs to do to be successful in our business. And our business is hard. 80% attrition rate. It is hard. It is not easy money to stick around. But man, you went from the bottom. Now you're at the top. And I wish you all the best. One thing that we love to do on this podcast is referrals. And how can somebody get a hold of you? You got a referral for somebody coming in or leaving Calgary?
Yeah, just easiest is actually now the website. So just gettygroup.ca.
Gettygroup.ca, that'll be down in the show notes.
Yeah. And then that'll get you a hold of somebody that can help you out. Yeah. You don't want me anymore. I'm useless out in the field.
Beautiful. But if somebody is in Calgary and is looking to level up and wants to join the Getty group, they can get a hold of you, schedule off of your website an appointment with you, and have a chat about all the great stuff that's going on so that we can get you up to 85 agents, right?
Hey, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, you bet. I'll do my best from over here.
Thanks.
Once again, my man, you are an absolute star, and I wish you all the best. And I'm so glad that we got together to have this chat, and I'm sure we'll tip back a beer sometime when we meet in person again.
Yeah, EXP Con. I'll see you in May.
Absolutely. Okay, awesome. Brother.
Peace.
Bye. Thank you so much for listening to Total Agent Access. Head on over to iTunes, hit subscribe. While you're there, leave us a review. 1 star is okay, but 5 stars is even better.